Chapter 25. The wolf's fur was speckled with drops of blood that had beaded on it like rain. The gravel in the alley shone in a half-light from the distant street lamps. The wolf's muzzle, a little shorter and broader than I'd seen on Wild Kingdom, was drawn back, black lips from fangs striped white and red like peppermints. Its eyes were blue rather than any proper lupine shade and gleamed with a sort of demented awareness. I had time to see all those details because I didn't need my eyes for what I wanted to do. I thrust my hands into the beast's pelt as he went for my throat and wormed my way down between its forelegs with my buttocks, fingers digging, until I found what I was looking for. The sharp metal edges of a belt buckle down against the skin, almost flush to the surface. As the wolf's jaws came toward my throat, I furiously worked the buckle, feeling skin rip and tear from the wolf's hide as I jerked it open and threw my arm to one side, clutching hard at the trailing strap. And abruptly, a wolf pelt belt was sliding out from beneath the gray suit jacket of Roger Harris, the forensic specialist for the local FBI office, the kid with the red hair and the big ears. He crouched over me for a second, blinking in stunned amazement at me, blood on his mouth and lips. "Hex and Wolf, jerk off," I snarled and slammed my knee up into his groin. It hit home hard. Harris gasped and rolled off me, reaching into his jacket, but I didn't let him get his gun. I stayed with him, keeping too close to him to let him move his arms freely, grabbing him by those big ears, and started slamming his head repeatedly against the gravel. He struggled against me for a few seconds, but I'd taken him by surprise. His skull banged against the rocks over and over, and after half a dozen solid blows, he stopped struggling. I released his ears with a little jerk and looked up at Tara and the wolves. They were closing in around him like a pack of sharks around a wounded dolphin, and I could read the blood in their eyes, the bared fangs, and the white-knuckled grip of Tara's hand on her lead pipes. I felt a sudden surge of frustration. Bad enough to have bloodthirsty animals roaming all over the city. I didn't need more of them on my team. "Everyone back off," I snarled. "He's ours," Tara answered me in kind. "He hurt those of the pack." "Then why don't you get them some help instead of wasting your time on this guy?" I said. "His blood is ours," Tara said, and the wolves confirmed this with a chorus of angry growls. "He can't hurt you now. Killing him won't make your friends any better, and the lost time might finish them." "You do not understand, wizard," Tara snarled, and the wolves echoed her in a chorus, white fangs showing. "It is our way." I stood up, slowly, to my full height. "I understand," I said in a very low and even voice, "that you do not want to make me any more angry than I already am." I met Tara's eyes and stared hard. My jaws ached from clenching. "There's been enough killing. Take him out now, and you're no different than he is." "Wrong," Tara said. "I would be alive, and he's dead." "Not if you cross me, you won't be." We held the tension for a moment, glaring at one another. I saw uncertainty waver over her face. She didn't know I was out of gas, magically speaking. And she'd seen me do too many impressive things with my powers to want to defy me lightly. She blinked first and looked away from me with a sullen sound in the back of her throat. "As you wish, wizard," she said. "We don't have time to waste fighting one another. The rest of his pack is coming, and we have wounded to tend to." I nodded and swept my gaze around at the three wolves around me. "Anybody else?" I challenged. They all backed away from me and didn't meet my eyes. "All right, then," I said, and stooped to recover Harris's gun and the wolf pelt belt. "Do you have any transportation out of here?" "Yes," said Tara, and barked an order. "Georgia." One of the wolves, a leggy, lanky, pale brown beast, shuddered and paced in a circle, making small, whimpering sounds. A moment later, there was a whisper of power, and the she-wolf shivered and went still, her head bowed. And then she shook herself, and all that pale brown hair faded from paler skin, leaving me staring at the lanky, dark blonde girl I had seen in the department store a few days ago, sans all the black leather. Georgia rose to her feet and said, "I'll have her bring the van around on the next street. Can you get them into it?" Her expression was tense and her eyes a little wide. Yes, Tara said. Everyone, come back to yourselves. And the other two ambulant wolves began to pace in a slow circle, gathering their own power, and their own transformations commenced, until they stood before me as a pair of naked young men, one of them the short, stout boy who had been arguing against Georgia, Billy, and the other a face I recognized but couldn't name. Tara took charge of the situation while I held Harris's gun and kept watch down the alley. She and the two young men made a litter for one of the wolves out of Harris's jacket, and the other, Tara simply picked up with a flexion of wire-tight muscle and carried, though it must have weighed 150 pounds. The wounded wolves yelped piteously, and Tara and the two young men cast dark glances at the downed Harris while they headed down the alley and over to the beach, leaving me alone with the kid. I hunkered down beside him and slapped his face until his eyes rolled open. He blinked once and then jerked, as though he was about to sit up. I stuck the barrel of the semi-automatic in the hollow of his throat and said, in a calm voice, "Hold still." He froze, staring up at me with wide eyes. "I'm going to ask you some questions, kid. I think I've got the answers already, but you're going to talk to me quietly and honestly, or I demonstrate point-blank bullet impact for you right here and now. Got it?" Harris's mouth twitched a few times before he managed to speak. "If you kill me," he said, "Denton won't stop until you're dead." "Give me a break, Roger," I said back in a reasonable tone. "Denton wants me dead anyway. I could kill you now, and it wouldn't make any difference in what he has to do." Roger licked his lips and rolled his eyes about without moving his head, as though hoping for rescue. "How did you know about the belt?" "I saw Denton inside, and I saw that before you all changed. And I saw that before you all changed, you had reached inside your jackets for something. I figured that first night Agent Ben was reaching into her jacket to touch the belt and tear Murphy's head off when she got mad, but she managed to remember not to do it in time and drew her gun instead, right?" Harris's head twitched in a slight nod. "The bargain," I said. "You're Hexenwolfen. So you've made a bargain with someone to get the power to change, to get the belts. Who is it?" "I don't know," Harris said, and his eyes widened. "God, I don't know. Denton handled all of it." I narrowed my eyes at him and drew back the hammer of the gun. "Please," he squealed breathlessly. "I don't know. I swear to God, Denton handled all of that. He just came to us, asked us if we wanted to back him, if we wanted to nail some of the scum that kept getting away from the law, and I told him I did. Jesus, I didn't know it was going to lead to this." "Lead to what, Roger?" I said, my tone frosty. "Start from the beginning and make it quick." "Marconi," he said, his eyes on the gun in my hand. "It was all about Marconi. Denton wanted to take him down." "You mean kill him?" His eyes flickered up to me. "He told us there was no other way to get him, that he was doing more to poison this city than anyone alive. And he was right. Marconi's brought enough influence in this town to stay clear of the city police forever, and he carries weight on the national level, too. The Bureau has had more than one investigation on him called off. He's untouchable." "So you plan to use the belts to kill him?" He nodded. "But there would be evidence. No one would believe he'd just been mauled by wild dogs. There would be full investigations, forensics, the works." I understood and nodded. "So you needed someone to make it a neat package. Let me guess. The street wolves." Harris showed his teeth. "A gang of felons and troublemakers with a wolf motif. Murder of a criminal figure by persons with a wolf motif. No one would bother to check the figures on that one. It's obvious. And we get one more dangerous group off the street." "Yeah, Roger, except that they'd be innocent of that particular crime." "Did you think of that? Innocent, like those other people who died those nights around the full moon last month. You killed them, you and the rest of Denton's team." He closed his eyes, his face going pale, and he shuddered. "The change. When you're changed, when you're a beast, it's so incredible. So much speed, power,